So I'm going to share with you, we're going to have time of fellowship and we're going to share about wonderful stuff later on. But I want to share with you, I believe this meeting and next time I'm going to be kind of sharing a teaching about the kingdom of God. And this is one of the topics that for the longest time for me was kind of irrelevant, or I wouldn't think that much about it. Like and my approach was different until maybe the last 3-4 years, things started to shape in front of me, and I wanted to share a few things. This teaching or this meeting, I'm gonna kind of lay out the story of the kingdom, because I'm not sure about you, but for me, my background, the kingdom was kind of vague, and like I would read the parables, I would read the word kingdom of God from here then, but I would apply it like in my context instead of seeing everything through the kingdom. And there is a huge difference. And this will make a difference once you start to see. So I want to pray for just a few seconds. And I want you to pray with me. Lord, open our eyes to see your kingdom as never before. And I pray, Lord, that the revelation of the kingdom of God in our lives would launch us into new territories and new realms we've never been before. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So, tonight I'm gonna kind of tell you the story from the beginning. And God initially established a kingdom on earth, which was called Eden. And in Genesis 1, verse 26, we read that, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So the main idea when God created man, his design, his plan was for man, humankind, to have dominion. That's his initial design. So I want you to see that this is our history, or the first thing when the Lord was thinking about humankind, when he saw you, he wanted to create humans to have dominion. This is our identity. And we're going to continue. The earth realm belongs to man. We know from Psalm 115 and verse 6 that the earth realm belongs to man's dominion. Again, that's God's design. The highest heavens, it says, the highest heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. So he established a spiritual kingdom, and not a religious organization. We're not talking about a system like a religious organization or a political kingdom. He extended heaven's government to earth, and he gave the authority to man when it comes to earth. So there is God's kingdom in heavens, and it belongs to him, or everything belongs to him, of course. But his design was to give earth to man, to have government and to have dominion. However, God's kingdom on earth was usurped, استولي عليها, يعني it was taken by Satan, as man believed his lies and rejected the sovereign rule of God. Satan, if you remember, you know there are two main stories about Satan, his origin. That's in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. So we know, we understand that he was the an archangel, and what he wanted to do is to steal or to usurp the kingdom of God, and because of that he was cast down to earth. And in his anger, he destroyed the earth and sought to destroy God's creation, especially man, who was made in his image. He was kind of taking all his anger against God through man. Man listened, unfortunately, we know the story. Man listened to the deception of Satan and fell into disobedience. And as a result, man's authority on earth was lost to Satan. We need to understand this. I know that we know the story about the devil and sin and that. But usually we have kind of approach about sin and how Jesus died on the cross so we can have forgiveness of sin, which is right. But there is a kind of a bigger picture. And this is what I'm inviting you everyone to see, because this will change everything. As a result, man's authority on earth was lost to Satan. The kingdom was lost. The kingdom was lost. And he lost his sonship. Man lost his sonship and the access to the presence, of course. Then sickness, death, pain, suffering took over. Instead of the kingdom of God manifested through man's dominion, now Satan stole this because man accepted the lies of the enemy. So he handed over the kingdom to Satan. That's why Satan, he said, all this kingdom was given unto me. You remember in during the when Jesus was tempted. As a result, the kingdom of God was given over to the kingdom of this world, ruled by the prince of this world, which is the devil, Satan. The effect of this fallen kingdom was the brokenness within it, and the bondage of Satan it contains remains to this day. We still see the effect of all of this, that the kingdom was stolen into the hand of Satan. Then God started to work on human and his plan to restore all of this. So we know from Exodus 19 that God's plan after the fall of Adam and humanity, he had a plan. And his plan was to kind of reveal his kingdom through a nation, through the seed of Abraham, and a nation calling. And there is a verse that says in Exodus 19, verse 6, that he made Israel, the people of Israel, you will be, that was his mind, his plan. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. That was his design to redeem and to raise in his plan the people of Israel through whom. That's why he said in Exodus also, I believe in 15, that he told Abraham that you will be a blessing to the nations of the earth through Abraham and his seeds. The kingdom would kind of be restored. However, again, Israel rejected God as king. And we know the story. They started to ask, we want a king. We need a king like everyone else. And they rejected God as a king. And there is a very powerful verse, I believe in Samuel 12. It says, but you said to me, Israel said to the Lord, no, we want a human king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king. And this is very, very important. Even though the Lord your God was your king, he wanted to be their king. But they wanted an earthly kind of king. Then what? Let's continue. We're kind of scanning through history about the concept of the kingdom of God. So we see that the first king that came was Saul, and he failed. Then God once again, you see, time after time, the Lord, God was trying to restore the kingdom, but falling man would kind of let go of the concept or didn't get it and failed to live this purpose. We see with Adam, and we see with the with the Israel, and we see with Saul again. So God made a covenant, and he came a third time, kind of a third time, to made a covenant promise to David that the Messiah, the king, would come through his lineage, a son of David who would rule in righteousness forever. And we know about this. I will not go deep into it more. So Christ came to reestablish the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus Christ, the unique Son of God, was born a king who, you know, that he was, when he was proclaimed that a king is born in Bethlehem, a king. And it's very interesting that we see that he was born as a king, even though it looks in a different way. It's not the political way, it's not the human aspect, but he was born, and that was a declaration. The whole Gospel of Matthew speaks about one theme, Jesus as the king. You know that there are four Gospels, three of them, they're called synopsis, like they're kind of the same, and John by itself. So every Gospel speaks about Jesus in a different aspect. For example, Mark is a servant, Luke is a son of man, and John is a son of God, and Matthew is the king of Israel. So that's quickly, because we want to grow together in the word and in the knowledge about the concept of the kingdom. So he was born as a king, and also he died as a king. Remember what was the accusation, the title put on the cross? Yeah. Jesus King. Can you see everything? And, okay, I don't want to jump. I'll go according to the notes I've written. So he was born as a king. Jesus Christ, the unique Son of God, was born a king who reestablished the true kingdom on earth. The kingdom plan is fully embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. The kingdom, I want to say it again, and I want you to digest it. The kingdom of God was embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And we want to see this. We want to see the person, the revelation of the, Jesus Christ, who he is. Not only as a savior. We don't want to stay in this place. Because actually, seeing Jesus as a savior and accepting Jesus as a savior, it's only the door to enter into the kingdom. You know what Jesus told Nicodemus? He told him, unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we are born again. We are saved. We experience the forgiveness of sins. All of these terminologies, like they're equivalent to each other. Being born again help us to enter into the kingdom. So the goal, God's idea or God's purpose is not for us to be born again only. It's the key, but the main idea, again, to restore what was lost in the Garden of Eden, that there was a kingdom. And I wanted you, and I want everyone, we need to see ourselves that this is our purpose, is to have dominion on earth. And this will be fully restored at the end. But at the same time, when Jesus came, he revealed the kingdom, he proclaimed the kingdom, and he invited us to see and to start to live the kingdom. There will come a day when we'll live it fully. We see in the parables and the words that Jesus and sermons he shared and preached that at the end, we will rule, right? There are many parables that say that we will rule. He will give us authority of 5 cities, 10 cities, and things like this. And we need to see who we are and who we will even be more and more. Why do I say this? We are building the picture, and I'll reach to a certain point. So the kingdom plan is fully embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And we know this from Matthew 4, 23 to 24. I don't want to read it, but I can send you the notes so if you want to study this more. Jesus came because there is a kingdom, but we need to understand. I want to go back to this, the place where you remember that Satan stole the kingdom, or took, actually legally, because of sin, the kingdom from the hand of man. So Jesus came, yes, to save us, but he came also, according, we read this in 1 John 3:8, that the reason of the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Christ came not only to reveal God the Father, not only to save us from our sins, but also to accomplish the destruction of the devil and his works. He revealed the nature of God's kingdom as good and loving. The kingdom, there is a nature. And next time, I'm going to be sharing more about the nature, so we understand more about the nature and different aspects of the kingdom. So, because the more we know about it, the more we can be open spiritually to experience in every aspect of our lives. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. And to reveal the nature of God's kingdom as good and loving, and that God's people could rediscover their identity as loved sons and daughters of their Father in heaven. The kingdom of God was the central topic of Jesus' ministry. And we need to see this. It's amazing that the main theme Jesus was speaking about was not about forgiveness of sin, was not about this or that. The main thing he kept speaking about was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, in the Gospels was mentioned 120 times. And we know that when Jesus started to say, and when he started the ministry, he started to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. This was his message. When he sent the disciples, go and tell everyone, repent, because the kingdom of God is near. He wants the message of the kingdom to be clear. And I want to go out of my notes a little bit, because I want you to start to apply this to your ministry, to the way you do things. Because there is a difference when we approach the homeless, for example, or people on the streets, or in our mission trip, we speak only about, oh, Jesus died for you, which is part. See, the cross and forgiveness of sins is part of the kingdom. But when we start to see the kingdom in a broader way, things becomes different. When we start to actually kind of, I say it ironically, but when we start to preach as Jesus asked us to preach the kingdom. And I want to ask you, how many times have you thought in your message when you approach someone to speak about the kingdom? Oh, by the way, the kingdom of God is near you. How many? I don't want you to answer. You see, it's funny, because maybe it's very rare, if ever, right? And that's funny, because Jesus was clear. Guys, go preach the kingdom everywhere. Preach the kingdom. In the kingdom, yes, there is a cross, there is forgiveness of sin, but we need to remember that the main thing, that was the main theme in Jesus' speech. And you might say that, oh, that was in the Gospels only. We're going to continue. I just came out here and I'm going back. And like Matthew 4:17, it's very clear. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And he confirmed the kingdom's presence with healing, deliverance, signs, wonders, works of power. Matthew 4:23-24, 23 and 24. Then Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. I want you to start to see this. The kingdom is not something secondary. He's preaching of the kingdom. The good news is about the kingdom. He's saying that the kingdom of God is near you because we're living, our people, I don't want to say we are, but the humans on earth are living under the control of Satan. So the good news is that we're bringing the kingdom of God near them. And it's not a proclamation with words only. It should be a declaration, yes, but also a manifestation through signs and wonders, healings and deliverance. Because this is how people get in touch with the kingdom. Not only, see, I want to say it in a different way. If I only preach people, "Oh, by the way, Jesus died for you," and I go into argument this and that, it, as if it's kind of a, this is a cheap gospel. This is a powerless gospel. But the kingdom of God we carry, it is manifested through signs and wonders, healing. Now, when we start to see this, it becomes very obvious that every time we preach the gospel, we share the good news, the ABC is that we expect healing, signs and wonders, the blind to see, the lame to walk, and this stuff. I'm gonna go into it. There is a difference between that I go to share God's love and, "Oh, God loves you and he wants to forgive you and he died for you." And you try to ask, "Lord, would you please also do miracles?" That's totally different than you approaching with the kingdom approach. And you release the kingdom. And in the kingdom, there is forgiveness, but there is also the power of God to release. Because the kingdom includes forgiveness of sin, includes the cross, but it's not only the cross. The cross is the start, but there is the resurrection. And the resurrection speaks about the power of God and declaring and releasing the kingdom of God over the church. And we need to see this, because if our mind gets renewed in this, we will start to flow in the ministry with understanding, knowing we're not just trying here and there. The renewal of mind opens the door for the Holy Spirit to work through us in a more efficient, in a better way, in a different Yeah. I wish I can have words to share this more. It has to be a revelation, because when you start to see this, you will walk in a different level of faith. Does this make sense? I'm going to continue. Then Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. You remember when Jesus said one time, I was sharing in Iraq about this, if I cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. You know this verse?
Yeah.
I want you to see this. Is that every time, what's happening, what's dynamic, what's happening here? The kingdom of God, we're bringing the kingdom of God in a place. We're carrying the presence of God and we're releasing the kingdom. This should be our main goal everywhere. It could manifest through healings, deliverance, peace for someone, the kingdom of God is peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, right? So we're releasing the kingdom, whatever the people are needing, but the kingdom of God. And when I release the kingdom, I have such authority. I work in a level of authority. I'm not kind of begging, Lord, would you please do this to that person? Would you be kind? And this, which is nice prayers and it's okay prayers. But behind this, there is awareness. There is a revelation that I am. I know who I am. I know my identity. We are kings. He has made us. Revelation 1 says he has made us kings and priests. So we are kings and releasing the kingdom of God in a situation. That's totally different. It's not that you're becoming a superman, but kind of you are what Paul said, you are an ambassador. Ambassador, what does it mean? Ambassador for a king, right? Or a nation or a country. So we are ambassadors for the kingdom. And when we see ourselves ambassadors, we have the full authority. We have it to release it wherever we go. I'm so excited about this subject because it's changing and I keep kind of going layer after layer. Jesus taught his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God. Have you noticed this? Maybe your approach before seek first the spiritual stuff, then the earthly stuff would be granted. Many people would translate it or interpret it this way. Oh, be into the spiritual stuff, but not the earthly stuff. But it doesn't say this. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. We want to be kingdom seekers in everything we do. And when he taught his disciples to pray, it was kingdom-centered, right? Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's so powerful. After he was raised from the dead, Jesus, after the resurrection, it says in Acts 1:3 that the kingdom was on his mind. He continued to preach the kingdom. Even the time, the 50 days after his resurrection, before his ascension, he would gather with the disciples and he would teach them about the things of the kingdom. And Christ, after he gave the care and extension of the kingdom of God to his disciples. We see this in Luke 22:29. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you. I'm not sure if you noticed this verse before, but this verse is very powerful. In Luke 22:19, just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you. He granted us a kingdom. So we have a kingdom that has been given to us through Jesus. And we need to see this transaction so we can live from it. In Matthew 10, verse 5 to 8, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among, you know, the very famous verses that we love to use and pray with in Matthew 10. Go heal the sick. And we, most of us bought this t-shirt. Heal the sick. Cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, all of this. But I want to read it to you. And I want you not to see in just the idea about, oh, we want to see miracles here and there. I want you to see, because that will change everything. Do not go among, he was telling the 12, do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. The first thing he says, go and preach the good news. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Lord, I pray that this would soak sink in Jesus' name. And in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Throughout early church history, the kingdom was preached. And we know this from the book of Acts. Paul and those who built the church continually preached the kingdom. See, I had this idea because I heard different teachings that would say, oh, the gospel of the kingdom was only at the time of Jesus. Then we have the good news of the cross during the church era. And then at the end, when the gospel the gospel of the kingdom will be preached once again to the Jews later on, and the millennium and stuff like that. This was my mentality, or how I saw things, until I saw that this is not what the book of Acts says. Because if this is true, then what Paul should have been preaching, not the gospel of the kingdom, but the gospel of the cross, or the good news of the cross and forgiveness of sin only. But in Acts 8:12 and in Acts 28:31, actually, I want to read it. Let's take one verse at least. 28:31. Anyone has a Bible? Can read it? 28:31. So we're talking about years, at least 30 years from the history of the church that was at the end.
Can you preaching the kingdom of God?
And can you go one verse before so we can know the context?
30.
Sure.
And he reminded to all years in his own hired lodging and receiving and received all who come to him.
Yeah, that's about Paul. So in his lodging where he was, he was receiving people and
preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all freedom, hallelujah, unhinderedly.
Yeah, he was preaching the kingdom of God even till his last days. And there's another verse in 8:12. I'll close with this. I want you to ask the Lord for a fresh revelation, a personal revelation, because I don't want you to just get kind of some knowledge and few verses. And like today, we just kind of we were telling the story of the kingdom from the beginning and what Jesus did and the church, so we can see our place in the story and the assignment we carry to reveal the kingdom of God and to release the kingdom of God and to preach the kingdom of God, knowing that through the cross we can enter, through by being born again we can enter the kingdom of God. This revelation, when you start to live, this will change how you see yourself, your identity. You know, we many times we focus as a ministry, because this is crucial for us, and this has to do with the revelation of our identity, who we are in Christ. So knowing the kingdom and knowing the assignment that we're carrying, this will take you to a different level, how to preach the kingdom. I would encourage everyone to pray, Lord, help me to digest and to get this revelation. And Lord, I pray that this would reflect on the way I do ministry, the way I do life even. Because we are ambassadors of the kingdom and we should live the kingdom. And we're going to talk next time about the aspects and the nature of the kingdom of God. But this is kind of the story, how it started and how God sees it. Because we want to have the same mind of God. We want to see how he sees everything into the right place. Does this make sense? So how about we just pray maybe a couple of minutes together about this, and then we move on. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your kingdom, and we pray as Jesus taught us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for myself and my brothers and sisters tonight, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, to see him as king, to see him more and more as king, the King of Kings. And thank you for the kingdom. Father, I pray that we become more and more aware of the kingdom of God, the nature of the kingdom of God, what you have done to restore the kingdom, Lord. And you have given us. Thank you, Lord, that you are restoring us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To have dominion, Lord. And even if this will be fully manifested completely when you come, Lord, whatever you have for us to live and to release during this age and this season, we want to have it all, Lord. The same way the early church received this revelation. Lord, we put our shoulders and our neck under the assignment of revealing the kingdom of God, of carrying the kingdom of God wherever we go. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Help us to see it so we can release it whenever we go and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. When we approach a homeless, when we approach someone on the street, when we preach the gospel, wherever we go, even among believers who are still under the works of the enemy, whether destruction of families, whether emotional brokenness, all the aspects of the kingdom of Satan and the bondage and slavery, in the name of Jesus, we pray that we would be instruments in your hands so we can continue the work that you started, Lord, and what you have accomplished through the cross. You came to destroy the works of the enemy, to destroy the kingdom of darkness, and to reveal the kingdom of God, and to transfer people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, in Jesus' name. You have made us a nation of kings and priests. Father, I pray that you would, hallelujah, release us, Lord. Release your children in this identity, into this destiny, Lord. Help us to stay focused on the mission in the name of Jesus. Shikara lama sendere le pototoko. Ora la pala passata shete kere